There are so many reasons why I got into teaching.
One of the best things is the light bulb moment.
When you see a pupil suddenly understand something, that's really, really special.
Every child is so full of potential, and the thing that makes me proudest to be a teacher is seeing them realise what they are capable of.
I don't think any other job can give you the same satisfaction.
That's why I chose to teach.
You could get £26,000 tax-free to train. Search, apply to teach. Selected subjects only, subject to eligibility.
Ladies and gentlemen.
Stop!
Podcasting since 2005. You are listening to Gamer Tag Radio with your hosts Godfrey, Pete Rock, Paris, Pasta.
I won this one.
Come on. Welcome to episode 545 here, Gamer Tag Radio. This is your host, Danny, a.k.a. Godfrey. And of course, this week we have Paris. Paris is joining us. What's up, Paris?
Oh, not much, man. I've got a lot of Microsoft to talk about this week.
So this is going to be an Emerald podcast episode. All right. All right. And also we have Patrick.
What's up, guys?
Welcome back.
Ready to talk about some Xbox, man. Me and Paris had a little adventure.
Yeah, Patrick and I, we went to San Francisco last week, and we went to the Xbox Spring Showcase, and we got to see everything that Microsoft has in store for us this spring. So I'm intrigued. I think that's my initial thought, but let's get into it.
Okay.
Yeah, we have a lot of interviews, so case, and also, I believe, Quantum Break, right, Patrick? We have Quantum Break interview this week, too?
Quantum Break interview as well.
Right. We'll do our Quantum Break interview with Remedy. And then on our Thursday show, so make sure you tune in Thursday, we'll have an interview with Coalition about Gears of War Ultimate Edition for Windows 10. And we're also talking to Turn 10 about Forza 6 Apex, which also is on Windows 10. So looking forward to that. And Killer Instinct. Can't forget that as well. We're also talking about Killer Instinct as well, right?
Yep, there we are. Season 3 this time around.
Hmm. Talk about more about that, too.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That's awesome.
Plus some extra stuff, because look, I have seen the light on something. Can I just jump right into that and say this off the top?
Yes, I have to introduce the show first. All right. First of all, head over to GamerTagRadio.com or play.it/GamerTag, and you can listen to our content. All of our episodes are there. And remember to share with your friends or give us a call, 786-273-7GTR. That's 786-273-7GTR. Or email us, fanmail@gamertagradio.com.
This is Gamer Tag Radio. Voicemail 786-2737-GTR.
I know you and Patrick were there at the Xbox Spring Showcase event, and I believe Phil Spencer, the head of Xbox, for those that don't know, he started the event with a keynote. Can you tell us a little bit about the keynote? Because we're not allowed to post the whole audio here, but I think by you telling us, that would be great.
Yeah. So Phil Spencer opened up the Xbox Spring Showcase with a keynote address, and it was meant directly for the media to kind of address some of the issues and concerns that people have had over the past few months with the direction that Microsoft is going with Xbox One and with Windows 10 and PC gaming. He reaffirmed that it's not just a passing fancy for Microsoft to get back into PC gaming and to take it 100% serious. It's not like, all right, we're 100% committed to PC gaming, and then at the end of the year, we're just kidding, we're going to go back to Xbox One. His point was they're taking Windows 10 because the Xbox One is now a Windows 10 device, and Xbox is the gaming platform for Microsoft now. They handle everything, whether it be PC or on the console, mobile device, anything. Any gaming thing that comes out of Microsoft will come from the Xbox division. Mm-hmm. And the reason that he's bringing that up is their development now with Windows 10, DirectX 12, their first party title games will be basically developed for the Windows 10 platform. So that's why we saw the announcement with Quantum Break that, yes, day one, it'll be on the Xbox One and it'll also be on Windows 10. And by making that announcement, when they say that games are going to be on Windows 10 and they're going to be on the PC, PC gamers are, you know, have a certain standard when it comes to gaming. They expect certain features to be there, you know, as far as SLI support, you know, 4K gaming, things like that, updated driver support, all of that. Phil Spencer during this keynote was promising that that is the support that Microsoft will give to PC gamers on Windows 10. You know, like right now, Quantum Break, when we got to see it early, when we got to see Gears of War, currently Windows 10 doesn't have all the full features of that PC gamers expect when you get games out of the Windows Store. But, you know, I got to play Rise of the Tomb Raider in DirectX 12. Looked fantastic. Got to play Gears of War on Windows 10. DirectX 12 looked fantastic. You know, 4K, the whole thing. Quantum Break, they're still, Remedy's still working on it, so it was in 1080p, but by launch, they're going to have all these features as well. Same with Forza Apex, got to see that in 4K, looked amazing. But they're just, what Phil was getting across was, it's about gamers. Whether you're on a console, whether you're on a PC, they want you to have the same experience. So the best way I can sum it up is, look at the Xbox One now as a mid-tier PC. You know, don't look at it as that is the gaming platform for Microsoft, because those same first party title games are going to start showing up on the PC side as well. And you're going to have a choice. And that's what it comes down to. Like, if you have a $2,000 gaming PC, high end rig, and you want all the bells and whistles that could potentially come with that game, then you can get it on Windows 10. But if you don't can't afford that, or you don't want that, you just want the living room experience playing Xbox games the way that you have been the past 10 years, keep doing it. Nothing's changing. You know, it's all they're doing is adding an option to for gamers. Like for me, and I know I'm not the average gamer when it comes to this, I'm most likely going to start getting all my first party Microsoft games on PC. Unless there's some multiplayer component or something where I want to play with all my friends and the majority of them are on Xbox One, then okay, I'm going to go get it on Xbox One. But you also have to remember, look at the incentive deal that they're doing with Quantum Break. They're basically saying, hey, go buy the Xbox One version. We'll give you the PC version for free.
Which is great. I think it's awesome because, yeah, like, especially if there's a game that, let's say, for example, Halo 6 comes out, right? And it's available for Windows 10 and Xbox One. We both could play in the same server, but the only difference is you probably is going to have a better graphic. It's going to look better on your PC, while what I have, mine's is okay on the console. It's not bad. Like, again, it's optional, but at the same time, we could play online.
Yeah,
you know, it's not going to divide. It's not going to divide the community. I think this is going to help grow. So there's going to be people that maybe have a PlayStation 4 and a PC, and this will be a great opportunity for them to play Xbox One games.
Exactly. And yeah, like you're saying, you brought up the PlayStation 4 and the PC analogy. See, I think this is a smart move by Microsoft, because this is the one advantage that they have over Sony, in that they are PC gaming. Windows 10 is an operating system. They own that operating system. 90% of PC gamers are playing their PC games on a Windows device. It's just the law of averages, right? Mm-hmm. So why not introduce those same gamers to the first party lineup of Microsoft games? And you throw in the incentive that, like, look, buy the Xbox One version because we're going to give you the PC version. So now all of a sudden you have an Xbox One copy as well. And if in the future you decide you want to get an Xbox One, you already got the games right there, right? So
yeah,
it's the one play that they have this generation that they can leverage and use. And I just think it's smart. But overall, you know, like I said, Phil was just getting that point. Like, you remember the whole Twitter nonsense that he was going back and forth when we talked about it a couple of weeks ago? He somewhat addressed that look, he was commenting on that because that's how serious they are about this move with PC gaming and Windows 10. I mean, the overall theme of the spring showcase was kind of the coming out party for Windows 10 as a gaming platform. And the overall sentiment was Xbox One, Windows 10 PC. It's all one platform when it comes to their games. And
it's great. And people really got to think about this, man. This helps the developers. This is great for them because that means there more people going to be playing their games. Sales-wise, software-wise, is going to help them even more too. Like, people are not really thinking about that. They're being really greedy. Like, no, I need this to be an exclusive just for the console and nobody else. I think that's like the wrong way to think.
Right.
You know, and spread the word of negative feedback to the community. I think that's really, really bad, man, in my opinion.
And the one final thing that he said, and we'll get out of here with this. One final thing that he talked about was, you know, they changed late last year. They changed their reporting style as far as sales numbers goes. They go by active monthly users. Now, look, I may or may not agree with this. It doesn't matter. But Phil Spencer's point on this was they're looking at the monthly active users now because that's a better gauge of how many people are actively playing games every month, right? Versus, all right, you got 50 million Xbox Ones, but in reality, you only have about 10 million people that are actively playing it. So that's how they want to look at it so they can report to all their investors and everything and all these calls that is like, look, we got 25 million active people every month playing our games on our platforms, which includes Windows 10 along with Xbox One, versus just saying, all right, this month we sold 800,000 consoles. You know, Phil is saying he feels that's a better gauge because then you're seeing how many games these people are playing and for how long. And, you know, he got into all the statistical stuff about that. So I get why. Look, they're in second place, right? Sony is going to run away with this hardware sales number wise, right? So to be able to then flip it and talk about, well, this is how many active people we have on our platform playing games. It just makes sense. It's, again, they're using the one piece of leverage that they have by including all of the active Xbox Live users across Windows 10 and Xbox One. Again, it's smart. Like I said, the overall theme of this was Windows 10 is the gaming platform now for Microsoft in the Xbox division, whether it be Xbox One or on the PC. And again, I like it. I think it's a smart move to do. So we'll see at GDC and at E3 because they said they'll have more information there as well.
I know we're going to continue right here, but here's something very, very quick. I think that by them making that move, they're not losing because at the same time they're promoting the Xbox One console, they're also promoting Windows 10, which people also could to get it, download it, and upgrade to their PC. And either way, if you buy games through Windows 10 or Xbox One, they're still getting the same money. They're not losing anything.
Exactly.
So it's smart. But here's a quick story, Paris. I forgot to mention this to you and Patrick. So my cousin, he's a Uber driver. He's always driving around in New York City all the time and stuff, right? So then he was driving. He picked up this person. I think it was somewhere like around downtown area. And young guy, he had like a bunch of games. I think it was like close to the GameStop area on 34th Street. I'm not 100% sure, but he's there. And this guy was talking on the phone while he was in the back. And he's like talking to someone on the phone and he had a bunch of games, right? So he's like, yeah, I got this game. This is it. My cousin listening to the conversation in the back. He's like, oh yeah, Godfrey and Gamertag Radio. Yeah, they say this is a good game. That's why I purchased it. And my cousin was like, wait. He's like, they're like, wait, Godfrey who? He asked it to this guy, the passenger. And he's like, oh no, Godfrey Gamertag Radio, you know, gaming podcast. He's like, yo, dude, that's my cousin. That's crazy. That's nuts, yeah. Right? Very awesome. But here's the thing. If you would like to, you know, if you want to be a driver for Uber, I think this is a great way for you to get some like extra money and extra income. And maybe you might get like the same experience like my cousin, meeting other people in the gaming community, which is crazy. It's a very small world, right? So Uber's smart app, it lets you connect with riders, with drivers. This is like a great way for you to make extra money using your own car, and it's totally flexible. You don't need to quit your day job to make more money, because look, you create your own schedule, right? Here's a quick thing: if you're interested in making extra income, very easy. Go to the app and go to drivewithuber.com and sign up. And you could do this right now while listening to the podcast. And I believe Paris is probably doing that in the background and stuff. But and here's a look, you just answered basic questions about you, about yourself, your car, and yeah, get approved. And after that, start driving. That's it. It's super easy, super easy. So if you want to make some extra money on your own schedule, sign up to Drive with Uber today. Go to drivewithuber.com. That's drivewithuber.com. Once again, Paris.
Drivewithuber.com.
Yeah. UBER.com. Anything else you guys would like to talk about
yeah.
that happened at the event?
Yeah, just to go back on what Phil was actually saying. See, and like Patrick alluded to before in the interview, we've been talking about this pretty much for the last year and a half or so with Microsoft. And really, it is the logical play for what they can do. They are Windows. They are literally the platform for PC gaming. I mean, we know SteamOS and Linux is trying to come on, but when you play games on the PC, 9 times out of 10, you're playing on a Windows device anyways, right? So the fact that they're going to now leverage this and just say, look, it is an even platform. It's an even playing field for platform wise. It goes, if you're developing for Windows 10, that means you're also developing for Xbox One. Everything's going to be DirectX 12. They're just sharing assets. It doesn't matter. Basically, the Xbox One is going to become just another Windows 10 device. So if you don't have a high-end PC, you can still play Forza, you can still play Gears, you can still play Quantum Break on your Xbox One, the same as you were before. But if you do have a high-end PC and you want to leverage the extra features that a high-end PC can give you, you can play them there. Yes, you got to go through the Windows Store as of now. I mean, they have more information that they're going to put out here later in the year. But right now, yeah, you'll go to the Windows Store. You're still going to have your Xbox Live account. You're still going to get achievements. You're still going to be connected into the Xbox ecosystem, but you're doing it on the PC. You can use your keyboard or mouse, or you can use your controller. It's a no-brainer for them to do it. So I'm happy to see that Microsoft is going this direction with the Windows 10 platform and just integrating Xbox into everything that they do gaming-wise.
Mm-hmm. And one of the things I like, too, is I really probably just got my first hands-on experience with this new in terms of integration with Xbox platform with Gears of War Ultimate Edition, which is just now coming to Windows 10. By the time you hear this, it'll be available. But I was impressed by, you know, I was just wondering, I was playing the first level, wondering what kind of features were built into the Xbox button and checking it out. It was very simple, you know, as opposed to the Xbox One system where you double tap the button, you have the little quick tab menu that pulls up. Windows 10, you just press it once, brings up a little menu, you can move around it. The features were nice. You have to take the picture, you can record the gameplay. What I like about the gameplay system as well is it automatically allows you to record directly from the microphone you have plugged into your PC. And it'll automatically level the audios for you. So it already has that natural, you know, if you're a YouTuber or Twitcher, your voice is the overriding level on the audio software. It's just loud enough over the game so you can clearly heard. So just little things like that where it's already tuned in some of those settings is really neat. Very user-friendly, easy to play with, easy to edit, easy to share those clips and those pictures. So just from my brief hands-on impression with Windows 10 so far in terms of Xbox compatibility, I'm pretty impressed. So I could definitely see myself in the future playing other games in the future like Quantum Break, like Forza, like Gears 4 on the Windows 10 platform through my PC as well. And then maybe, you know, maybe in the future I can also stream some of that to the Xbox, but we'll have to wait and see what their message is going to be later at E3.
Yeah, there's still more information to come, but this is a good first step.
Yeah,
this is what the direction that I want to see Microsoft going with their gaming division. Now, would I like to see some type of Steam integration? Obviously, I don't know exactly how they're going to be able to pull that off, because here's one thing that they made crystal clear. They're not ditching Xbox Live on the Windows 10. That will be integrated in. So I don't necessarily know if they'll be able to pull that off with Steam integration or not. But I mean, we'll see moving forward. Like I said, there's still more information to come. Like you mentioned, Patrick, the one big thing I do want to see is I want to see the Xbox One become a streaming device going the other way versus Xbox One to PC. I want to see PC to Xbox One. But I mean, just overall, it's It's the smart thing for them to do. I don't think I can stress that enough. It is the one advantage that they have over their competitors in the console space. And I like the fact that Phil directly addressed all the complaining and issues that, that people have been talking about here in the last couple of weeks with this stuff. It's like, look, we're not abandoning consoles, console gamers. It's just another option. And that's how people need to look at it. No one is going to force you to play a game on a PC, and no one that's a PC gamer is going to be forced to play a game on Xbox One. And the one thing that I truly hope that they do is, and it sounds like this is what they're going to do. They haven't 100% confirmed this, but this is just the feel that I got being at the event. Moving forward, any Xbox exclusive title will be day and date console and PC. It's just smart business, in my opinion, because you're going to bring in the PC crowd into your Xbox ecosystem. So eventually, hey, maybe they start liking all these games and decide they want to pick up an Xbox One. Maybe they decide that they don't. Unnamed Microsoft employee that I was talking to there, we had an interesting conversation because when he told me that he found out that this was the direction that they were going, he immediately went out and bought a high-end PC because he was like, I want to experience these games at their highest settings, at their highest visual fidelity. So it was a no brainer for me to go get a high end PC so I can experience it that way. He goes, doesn't mean I'm not going to play on my Xbox One, but I now have the option to experience these games in a different way. And I can tell you this, just on a side note, I got to play Rise of the Tomb Raider while I was there. That was my first time touching Rise of the Tomb Raider. It was on Windows 10, fully maxed out settings. It was freaking gorgeous. So I'm already spoiled to the point. I don't think I can go play it on Xbox One now. I have to play it.
It was fun, but yeah, I agree with Paris. I get to play the same Troy level he did in 4K. One of my few 4K experiences I've had so far. And yeah, it really is a brand new game, and I already want to play it again. Very impressive technology, DirectX 12.
And I'll say this, and we'll talk about it on the Thursday show more in detail, but seeing Forza Apex in 4K and playing Gears of War in 4K at home because we've been reviewing it. Woo. That's what I'm talking about. You know what I mean? That's the thing that Microsoft can say. Hey, look, we're not saying you can't play this game on the Xbox One, but look at what we can do with the same game on the PC. That's the difference.
Did you guys play against each other on Gears or no?
No, it was just single player.
Just
it was
two single player sequences.
Okay.
Yeah, they had a co-op, but we didn't do the co-op.
Oh, okay. Yeah. I thought it was going to be like some like versus or something, like, you know, one versus one or something.
Well, it's funny you mentioned versus, and I know we'll continue more into the Spring Showcase in just a second, but let's talk about our new sponsor, Loot Crate. You guys know Loot Crate. Loot Crate,
of course.
Yes, they're awesome. Yeah. Loot Crate is a monthly subscription box service for epic geek and gamer items and pop culture gear. For less than $20 a month, you can get 4 to 8 items that include licensed gear, apparel, collectibles, unique one-of-a-kind items, and more. You have until the 19th at 9 p.m. Pacific to subscribe and receive that month's crate. And when the cutoff happens, that's it. It's over. So the theme this month for March is Versus. It's celebrating some of the greatest rivalries in pop culture. You know, you got Batman, Superman coming up, Alien versus Predator. You got Spock versus Evil with the beard Spock. You got Daredevil and the Punisher. You got Danny and Pete. You got Harley Quinn, Joe, and all of that. You know, just that's the theme this month, the Versus mode. So go to lootcrate.com/gamertag and enter our code gamertag and you can save $3 on any new subscription. Just remember, folks, Loot Crate is like a friend who knows what you love and surprises you with an awesome present every month. They ship to over 27 countries and there's more info on their site at lootcrate.com. Loot Crate is more than just a subscription service. It's an entire community of fans that share their experience and interact with each other, unboxing crates each month. Loot Crate guarantees $40+ in value in every crate. Sometimes it's a lot more. And just side note, I'm signing up for this because I got to do it. I've never jumped into the Loot Crate thing, but I know Pete.
You should.
Pete's done it. Other people, and I see it on social media, and they're getting all this cool stuff. So I'm jumping in. You know, like just for example, some of the previous crates have been Star Wars, Marvel stuff, The Walking Dead, Legend of Zelda, and many other things. Just anime, all kinds of crazy stuff. So again, Go to lootcrate.com/gamertag, enter our code gamertag, and you can save $3 on any new subscription. Again, that is lootcrate.com/gamertag, and our code is gamertag.
All right. That's perfect, man. All right. Now, quick question. Now, let's talk about other things that were at the event. I know there was Oculus there. There was, games.
Can we stop right there? Can we just stop right there? I know there's more.
Yeah, well, what's up?
Okay. So I have a confession. I got a confessional. I have seen the light. As people listening to this podcast know, I have not been a believer of VR. Just I haven't. I'm like, I don't get it. There's no killer app. I don't get it. This thing costs too much. I'm out. I don't see it. I'm not doing it. I've been very adamant about that the last couple of years, right? Well, like you said, Oculus was there. Shout out to Aubrey Norris. She was there. But Oculus Rift was there, and they had Minecraft for Windows 10. Danny.
How was it?
Danny,
how was it?
Danny. Boston already knows because he was there watching me lose my freaking mind. Yep. I put this headset. And again, I'm very skeptical. I put this headset on, right? And it was so funny because the guy, he's kind of like your tour guide through, and he's walking you through stuff. So this is Minecraft on Windows 10. Put the headset on. And at first, I'm like not impressed at all because it literally looks like I'm just looking at another screen that's playing Minecraft. And I'm thinking, this is it? I was like, in my head, I'm like, man, see, I was right. I'm going to rip this stuff a new one on the podcast. This is all I'm thinking, right? And then he says, all right, now step through the screen. And I stepped through the screen, Dan, and I was in Minecraft. When I say I was in Minecraft, I was in Minecraft. I was like, oh, no. My God. Paustin, tell him what my reactions were. You were there. What was I doing?
He was astounded. I mean, just the simple things of just the depth you have of being in that world, seeing through those eyes. I got to try it like he did. And it really is. It's just an amazing experience to feel like in scale size. You know, monsters are bigger than you. The trees, the digging through the tunnels. It's just all these cool things that, you know, when, like, maybe if you're not into Minecraft, you don't understand it. I think once you see it through the eyes of the character and you immerse yourself in that world, you're like, oh, I get it now. The sense of wonderment and discovery. But also, you know, prepare is like, I think that's the perfect introduction to the virtual reality world. Now, I've talked about my previous experience in the past where I feel like maybe they were almost too much. You had the Uncanny Valley. You had a lot of gameplay elements being thrown at you very quickly. But I think Minecraft, because a lot of people already understand at a base value how to play it, or even if you don't, it's very easy to pick up and play because you're playing it with Xbox One control in your hand, and it's very natural. What I love about it is one of the features is when you're looking around, like when you're using the inventory system, you can just replace the mouse look by just your vision. So it's like, oh, I need to build a pickaxe. So I need to take two pieces of wood, just look, wood, put it up there, look at the top part of the screen, two pieces of stone, make the thing, put it in your inventory system. Very simple, very easy to use. You can always use the analog sticks as well if you want to like shift your view in like quick little segments if you don't want to disorientate yourself. Because you can literally, if you're a spinning chair like they want you to be, you can just spin all the way around while playing this game and do a 360-degree look around you. It was really fascinating. But Paris, I mean, it was just fun watching you just be immersed by it because I was getting excited to try it out. But it was a pretty cool demo. Do you want to kind of explain it, what you went through, Paris?
Yeah. So like I said, he tells me, okay, walk on the screen, and then I'm in Minecraft. I'm literally in the world, and it was like a tutorial. So because you're using an Xbox One controller, and he's kind of walking you through how to use it, how to move, you can look left, look right, up, down, all that kind of stuff. But he's setting up how to use the tools in Minecraft, and like you said, digging through walls and creating things and all that. But the wow moment for me, you may even remember this, Patrick. He has me walking across this bridge, and he was like, and look to your right, Danny. I looked to the right and I looked down and there was the uncanny valley just right there, all this valley. And I look up at the clouds and the trees and just everything. And I was like, oh, my God. Oh, my God. And then he had you like blow up this one thing. And there was like this big giant monster off to the left. And I know I looked over at the monster and I was like, and I gasped. I was like, oh, like, I couldn't believe what I was seeing.
So wait, so were there other people playing with you too, like in the showcase or
this is how they did it. So you had like this tutorial, right? And just so you can walk through, and they had you do certain scenarios and everything so you could see how it worked in VR. So then at the very end, he then switches you over to a live Minecraft server that real Minecraft players are playing on the internet right now. And he's like, and you're the only person in here right now that's using VR. Everyone else is just playing it normally on their PC, you know, sitting at home. But I was in the same Minecraft server as regular players. But for me, it was a complete VR experience. And I'm seeing like all these crazy things that they've created, these buildings and all this. It was, dude, it was amazing. Like, when I'm wrong, I can admit when I'm wrong. I was freaking wrong. The whole time I'm playing this thing in my head, I'm like, wait a minute, how much is Oculus again? Can I get this?
You start sitting right now. You should be good.
I'm like, I might be able to get this because I'll tell you right now, my kids get a hold of this because they play Minecraft now, they're going to lose their flipping minds. They will lose their minds. To me, this is the killer app because Minecraft is something everyone loves, everyone understands, and to be able to put you into that world and you're creating content when you're in Minecraft as well. Mm-hmm. That's a system seller.
And also getting a brand new Minecraft experience that you have never seen before.
Exactly, too. But that's the beauty of it. It is Minecraft. It is Minecraft for Windows 10. It's not like a special version or anything crazy like that. It's just you're doing it via Oculus. That's the only difference, and you're literally in the world. You are the Minecraft character, and you're seeing everything. Like again, if I look to the left, I'm seeing stuff to the left. If I look up, I'm seeing stuff. If I look down, like Patrick said, if I turn around, I'm seeing the stuff that's behind me. It was very impressive to me. I want to see more in VR. I want to see what these other companies are going to do. Is there going to be a game or an app that's going to be able to create this experience for me? Because I wasn't nauseous. I didn't feel disoriented. There was nothing. But he did explain, because we were sitting down and I was asking the question, I'm like, well, if I stood up, what would happen? And moving around, he was saying that's when you can get disoriented, because then your brain kind of gets fooled and all that kind of stuff. So there's still things they need to obviously work out. But sitting down in a swivel chair, I could completely play that game. No issues at all. It was brilliant. Mm-hmm. I loved it.
It's amazing. Wow. I think it absolutely should ship with the Oculus day one, day date. Because I think, you know, you already have the massive millions of people that would already love Minecraft, that would adore this experience, and then people like me who've been on the sidelines for years just being like, oh, that's okay, I guess. I don't like building things in games. This changes everything. Now all of a sudden it's like I feel the creative spark of like, you know, this is, you know, what is my excuse now not to be creative if I'm living, breathing inside this little cool virtual world? And more importantly, I have access to the servers that, you know, the PC players for years have been making these unbelievable 1-1 scales, you know, Hogwarts, Westeros, the USS Enterprise.
Yes.
This stuff you can now walk around in first person. Like that. Like, are you kidding me?
Danny,
dude, this is worth every penny, man.
Danny, let me tell you. I wouldn't even create nothing. I would just walk around. I'd just be walking around just looking at stuff. That's all I would
just
do.
Just discover stuff.
Yeah, that's all I would do. Like, it's funny you mentioned Westeros, because that's the first thing I thought of, because my kids have gone on that server, you know, with the Game of Thrones server, where they built this stuff by hand. I'm like, could you imagine just walking around Minecraft Westeros? That would blow my mind. And to people listening, and Danny and all that, think of this. You know how skeptical I've been of this thing, right?
For years, you can hear how
excited I am. That's how impressive it was to me. I was that impressed. You know, and think about it. That was what, a 30-minute experience that I had with it. Now I get it. I get why Cliffy B and so many of these different developers have been so high and behind this Oculus and the VR, and why Sony's going all in on. I get it now. I don't think I could say it any simpler than that. I now understand it, and I want more.
Yep.
I'm legit.
It's here to stay.
Considering,
man.
It's not going anywhere.
Thing.
Yeah, now I get why Facebook bought Oculus. I get it. But I can also say this, before we go to that Quantum Break interview, we have another sponsor. We got Lisa. Do you need a mattress, Danny? You need a mattress?
Yes, I always have back pains, and I love sleeping comfortably. So,
well, hey, I need a mattress. As a matter of fact, me and my wife, we were just talking about this a few days ago. We need to get a new mattress. So it's like perfect timing that we have the sponsor right now. But Lisa, you know, you need to go check them out. They're this innovative new online company. Lisa is not your typical mattress company. They're like the Oculus Rift of the mattress industry. Lisa's done away with the awkward mattress showroom experience we all hate by creating a true luxury mattress that can be ordered exclusively online from the company. comfort of your home. Lisa starts at just $525 and it ships compressed in a box for free to anywhere in the United States and Canada. The 100% American-made mattress is engineered with three foam layers, not four, not five, not two, three foam layers, including with a top cooling foam layer. Lisa gives you 100 nights to try the mattress risk-free. See, that's what I'm talking about. So me and my wife, you know, we can, you know, we can get it in for 100 days. And then if it's all good, we can say, all right, we can keep it. But best of all, for every 10 mattresses they sell, they donate one to a shelter. Plus, for every mattress sold, they plant a tree. That's cool, right? They plant a tree.
That's really cool.
What kind of cool you think? An oak tree? Redwood?
Hopefully, Redwood get the best bang for your buck out of that one.
No, but how? Awesome. But that is awesome. So if you're ready to start sleeping better and want to give back to your community, head to lisa.com/gamertag and get $75 off your order. That's lisa.com/gamertag and get $75 off your order today. Again, lisa.com/gamertag.
All right, but thanks a lot, man. So we're going to play now the Quantum Break interview. We'll be right back.
This is a Gamertag Radio exclusive.
All right, everyone. This is Paris. I'm here with Patrick. We're at the Xbox Spring Showcase, and we just got finished playing Quantum Break. And more specifically, we got to play the Windows 10 version of Quantum Break. So I got somebody from Remedy to talk about the game. So can you please introduce yourself?
Yeah, hello, everyone. I'm Milos. I'm the production director here at Remedy. And I was on Quantum Break basically from the beginning of the game. So all questions are available.
Sounds good. So before we get into all the Windows 10 stuff, can you tell people exactly what is Quantum Break? Why have we been waiting 3 years for this game?
So Quantum Break is the next step for Remedy. We wanted to do the ultimate Remedy experience and get the players enjoy and again something from Remedy, the heart of us. So really story heavy, character driven, third person action game with a really cool mix of game and first time in history of the industry with the show that is actually live action. And it's not only about that the live action would be actually a part of the game, like it is to one massive experience when the game is actually showing the gameplay and the story from the perspective of the heroes, and the live action is from the perspective of the villains. So you basically have one continuous game where you can see all the events coming from different perspective and different people.
Very cool. Now, obviously, Remedy has a long track record of making very story-heavy games. You know, Max Payne, Alan Wake, some of my favorite narratives from games I've played in recent years. So I've anticipated this game for a while now. What lessons did you learn working on those titles in the past that you guys, actually, you said in your presentation, mm-hmm. that Quantum Break is the ultimate Remedy game? You guys yes. have been building towards exactly. this for over 20 years. What are the lessons you learned to get to this point?
So when we started working on Quantum, we wanted to bring something new, and that's why we actually decided together with Microsoft to do the step and combine the live action show with the game. So it's completely new thing. It's actually quite it was quite tricky when we were basically getting these two elements together, making one ultimate experience for player, not to be the same things. You are experiencing the same the one story from different angles, from different perspectives, and of course, as in Alan Wake, some people were not super happy about the gameplay. We actually focus on the gameplay also, and we try to get a bit more depth in-game perspective to every single combat scenario, so we have way more rich gameplay also, so not focusing only solely on the story, but to actually bring something from the gameplay to the game.
Now, Quantum Break has changed a lot since you first debuted right. it in 2013, so you even brought in Sean Ashmore, that yes. was debuted, I believe, last year you announced uh-huh. that. What went into those changes? Why didn't we go with some well-known actors versus what it was originally in 2013?
Basically, when we were going through pre-production and through the game, we wanted to deliver the ultimate experience, something that would be really cool, something that everyone could actually really enjoy, and that was one of the reasons why we picked the high-class actors that can deliver the best possible story, both in the game and in the show. I think it was really really good decision, as when you were playing, you could actually see the guys who are acting there are amazing. And of course, as we went through the way of the digital doubles, the game doesn't have just the voice. The game has actually all the movement. The game has all the facial expression. The face is basically exactly the same as in the show. We are trying to go as close as possible. So that was one of the reasons why we wanted to go with well-known actors, because we can use them in the full spectrum inside the game, not only in the show.
Now, like I said, we got to play the Windows 10 version. That's what it just came off of. And it was recently announced that Windows 10 version is going to come out day and date with the Xbox One version. And also during our demo, you guys talked about that you're developing the Windows 10 version in-house. So
yes,
can you talk about some of the features that we can expect on the PC version?
So the Windows 10 version is trying to use all the power from the machine that we are going for. So the Windows 10 version is focusing on the image quality even more than the Xbox One. We are implementing 4K resolution, 60 frames per second. We are working on some really cool graphical settings that will pimp up the VFX, the shadow quality, and the quality of the volumetric lighting. And of course, we are using all the features possible between the Xbox and PC. So you can play on Xbox, then you can jump on PC. All the achievements, your progress in the game, you can check out your friends from Xbox One who are playing the game and check out their progress. Use the DVR. All of these features are available.
Now I want to talk briefly about the time powers in this game. Uh-huh. Obviously, you just said in presentation, Max Payne had the Pulp Fiction, Alan Wake had the Supernatural. Now you want to focus on a science fiction point of view. So in terms of time powers, a lot of games have tried to do this type of gameplay before. What sets Quantum Break apart, besides the narrative power? Obviously, the actors are amazing, but when we get to the gameplay section, what is the wow factor for y'all of why you want to do time powers?
So I believe that our game, when we started, we wanted to change a bit the gameplay to not be cover shooter. And that's exactly why we came up with the time powers. The time powers are forcing player to actually be in move, not be just somewhere behind a cover and staying there. The enemies are flashing you out. They are always actively trying to take you outside of the cover, and you have to use the time powers to actually stay in move and defend against all the enemies. Because if you wouldn't use them, you would get killed quite quickly. Mm-hmm. So that was the goal for all the time powers. And of course, we wanted to use all the power of the Windows 10 and Xbox One. So we went for really cool and effects heavy powers that were distinctive and will be interesting, but at the same time keeping the idea of the time travel and not going with something that would completely disconnect the game from the gameplay. We wanted to have actually still the narrative story there and have a meaning, so not break the immersion for a player. Mm-hmm. So that were the basic goals.
Now, obviously, before we've heard about the whole concept of the game having the story of the heroes and the show having the story of the villains as well, but y'all mentioned something interesting to me about the junctions y'all said. Mm-hmm. When you reach after a certain act, it essentially comes down to two major decisions that drastically alter the path. And you said you think there's five junctions in total?
Four
junctions in total, okay. And that leads to a lot of different endings.
Yes.
Can you explain what is the system and how complex is it in terms with connecting with the show?
Mm-hmm. So the junctions, as you said, we have four different junctions that are played always at the end of the act, and every single junction is followed by the show episode. The show episode and the game as well changes depending on your choices. Mm-hmm. The end of the game is the same because we are trying to get as good ending as possible. On the other hand, the things leading to the ending will change, and it can go as far as that some of the NPCs will actually not be with you. I'm not sure how far you actually got in the gameplay, but some of your NPCs, for example, could disappear. They just doesn't need to be there, so the gameplay can actually change quite significantly.
Okay, final question. If you can just kind of talk about some of the pre-order bonuses that are going to come with the game and then the actual release date for Quantum Break.
Okay, of course. So I would actually start with the release date, of course, so because we are really excited about that. So it's 5th of April 2016 for both platforms, so Windows 10 and Xbox One. The pre-order bonuses are tied to the Xbox One digital version. And so we are really happy to actually bring back the Alan Wake experience to all the guys who will be buying the Xbox One digital version of our game. For these, they will get Alan Wake with both of the DLCs, the Writer and the Signal. And then they will actually get American Nightmare also. And a special bonus for all of the guys who will be buying the Xbox One digital is also that they will get for free the Windows 10 version of the game, and they could actually enjoy it on both of the machines.
All right, Milos, thank you for your time. We really appreciate it.
Okay, thanks a lot, guys. Really happy to have you here.
Voicemail 786-2737-GTR.
All right, great job, guys. And tell us, including me, because I'm excited for this game. I'm a big fan of the developers, Remedy. Tell us a little bit about Quantum Break. Hands-on experience or what?
Let me go first.
You got it.
Because since I'm Mr. Negative Nancy with all this stuff. and it's not bad. This is not a bad thing at all. Again, I want to thank Remedy letting us play the game and all that. And like we said in an interview, we played the Windows 10 version. It eventually will be in 4K and there'll be a patch come out and they're going to still fix some things before it gets to launch. But what we played was at 1080p, 30 frames per second. I mean, it looked fine. I had no issues with it at all. But my only concern with it was the weapons, was the gunplay. And I know we were early in the game on what we played. I had literally just gotten to the point where it was going to kick into a live action sequence. The gunplay felt a little slow and clunky. That would be my one concern. But the overall story and the pacing and the acting, obviously, you know, obviously got well-known actors playing all these roles. That was fine. Mm-hmm. I mean, you can definitely see the Max Payne and the Alan Wake influences in this game for sure, you know, but I want to see more with the gunplay. That's all. That's my only complaint. But Patrick, I know you got a lot more to add to that.
Oh, absolutely. I'm glad you touched on that because, as you said, the allusions they have gameplay wise to Max Payne and Alan Wake, I think was really smart to take those best parts of those experiences and translate that into a very narrative heavily focused game. But I was impressed because me and Paris played the same introductory sequence where I expected, you know, them to go a little bit overboard with the narrative. You know, you actually get in control of the character very quickly. You end up getting your powers based around time very quickly as well. So I like the game quickly gets you up to speed, throws you into the action, gets you, you know, invested in the characters. I would agree with Paris in some ways in terms of the gunplay. I found it a little slow and clunky. But I also feel like starting out because you're fighting, you know, elite military forces and you're just kind of getting the hang of what you're supposed to be doing. I could understand, you know, they have body armor, they have helmets on. You know, I wasn't taking them as quickly as I wanted to. I want to try this on a PC because maybe with the precision of a mouse, maybe that would work better. But again, this was a pretty early build of the game. They can take a lot of feedback from now and tweak all that stuff. But I think I probably enjoyed the gunplay a little bit more than Paris did, I would say, because I had a lot of fun, specifically when you get to the part with the time powers, which are really cool because, you know, as we said in the interview, a lot of games have done this before. Like, a lot of games have tried to do this, you know, time-altering stuff. This one's kind of the first one I feel like really understood the concept of making a third-person shooter fun without, like, limiting you. You know, like, in terms of, like, you think of, like, playing an Adept in Mass Effect, where you're so reliant on your cooldowns, and if you blow them all at the wrong time, you're going to get killed in close quarters, and it's frustrating. This is a much better balance, I think. You have abilities like a time dash where you have a map to the right bumper. You do this quick little accelerating, you know, skip through time. And when you aim at the end of that, you kind of slow down time for a little bit to get a quick like headshot or two. But you have abilities like, you know, the time barrier. You can press B and you can throw basically the shield wall and all the bolts, you know, like, well, you know, Neo Matrix style start slowing down dramatically so you can get out of the way of them. And other things like that as well. You can obviously target and stop time for a period of time, shoot an enemy a bunch of times. Your shots can like chain together so they explode into more powerful shots and blow an enemy away. You can use the environment in a lot of different unique ways. You can flank the enemies. The enemies are very smart and aggressive. You know, once they realize how dangerous you are, they try very hard to kill you. So like really just at first, you know, hour and a half that maybe we played, I was really engaged in both the narrative and the gameplay early on as well. So, you know, then I checked out the stat screen says that you have a lot of cool RPG mechanics where you can, you know, upgrade your powers, get new ones. It seemed like there was a lot of, you know, content there for the full experience. So the little bit I played, I was very impressed by this, even this early, you know, stage that I was playing at. You know, a lot of graphical glitches, bugs here and there, slow frame rates. But, you know, below all of that, I could see the game they were trying to make. And I was very impressed by it. So I think it's really good. They took the time to go back to the drawing board, you know, give this game all the development time it needs, because I do think this will be the blockbuster for Xbox. So far, this is the most exciting game I have played on Xbox One to date. I see the potential.
Man, that's
in
a lot.
Seriously, like, I really do see the potential in this game a lot. And it gets me excited, too, because, you know, on the PC, you know, now more people can experience this. And I just think this is going to be a real win-win for Microsoft, because I really can't see anybody, you know, not liking this game. I guess if you just either hate science fiction or you don't like third-person shooters, yeah, sure. But I think they're going to tell a really interesting story there with some really fun gameplay on top of it. You know, if I'm given Remedy's track record, which for me has been amazing, I think they're really going to knock this one out of the park whenever they get around to finishing it. So for me, so far, preview-wise, I'm very impressed.
That's awesome. Take that, Paris.
Not messing with you.
He's just more skeptical.
No, I get what he's saying. My enthusiasm isn't as high as Patrick's. They're headed in the right direction. Like he did note, we couldn't do keyboard and mouse. That's something that they'll have ready by launch. And like the one key thing that does give me hope, just overall, just kind of wrap all this up, not just Quantum Break, but like that Remedy was talking about, that Turn 10 was talking about, that the Coalition was talking about. They're the ones that are developing the Windows 10 version of the game. It's not being farmed out to a third-party studio to do a port. It is being developed side by side with the console version. So, you know, I have confidence in Remedy. They'll get it ironed out by launch and it'll be ready to go. I need to see more than just the opening act of the game. But yeah, I get what he's saying. It is leading up to something that's going to be very, very gripping, very going to have you anticipating the next chapter, what's coming next, what's going to happen. And not to mention time travel being involved as well. You know, it's like, 88 miles per hour. Get Mark and Dottie, Mark and Dottie, get Marty and Doc in here as well. Because I mean, I can see the great potential of it. I just want to see more. That's all.
All right. So we're going to wrap it up. But remember, this Thursday, once again, Paris, what are we going to have for this Thursday?
This Thursday, we will have an interview for Forza 6 Apex on Windows 10 with Turn 10 Studios, Mr. Dan Greenwalt, which was a very exciting interview for me. I'll talk about it on the next episode. We also talked to someone from the Coalition about Gears of War Ultimate Edition on Windows 10. And we also got an interview for Killer Instinct as well.
We did. Mm-hmm.
Wow. So we're going to put all those three interviews this Thursday. That's
and we got a couple emails that we'll talk about as well.
All right. And also, Patrick, I believe we also have a review this week of Dying Light the following.
Yeah, actually two, Dying Light and Street Fighter V. Because I think it's finally time to cast judgment on that game. But yeah.
It's going to be a long episode, huh?
I don't know about that. Right. But yeah, I think it's time to give a verdict on Street Fighter V and Dying Light. But yeah, we got a lot to cover on Thursday. Can't wait to talk about it.
All right, so head over to GamerTagRadio.com, post your comments and feedback, and listen to our past episodes. Also, you can also go to play.it/GamerTag. You can listen to us over there too. Subscribe. We're everywhere. Spotify, TuneIn Radio, iTunes, Stitcher. Also, you can give us a call, 786-273-7GTR. That's 786-273-7GTR. Email us, fanmail@GamerTagRadio.com. Until next time, see you this Thursday. We're out. Peace.
You're listening to Gamertag Radio. Be sure to like us on Facebook. Follow us on Twitter. Thanks for listening. Tune in next week.